No spaces, no punctuation, all capital letters. Okay? That's called an uncial text. Up until about the 8th or 9th century, when we have minuscule texts, that is, and I'll show you a minuscule text in just a moment, large letters and small letters, spaces between words, and the introduction of punctuation. There are approximately 5,000 Greek manuscripts of sections of the New Testament in existence today. About another 20,000 manuscripts in other languages, Latin, Ethiopic, Bohairic, translations of the New Testament. Now, some papyri of John, the Gospel of John, may be first or second generation copies. For example, you're about to see, if we don't accept the manuscript I mentioned to you earlier, the little scrap, 7Q5, if we don't accept that as the earliest New Testament manuscript, the one of Mark, this then is. This is P-52. That is not a fighter aircraft. P-52, Papyri 52. All it is a scrap of the Gospel of John. John chapter 18, verses 31 through 34. And on this side, this is the same piece, this is just the back side of it. This is John chapter 18, verses 31 through 34. This is 37 through 38. Not even all those. But this dates probably from the year 125. Now, if we do date John late, we're talking 30 years. We're talking strong possibility. Copy firsthand from original, or maybe second. Incredibly early. Incredibly early. Scholars who study works like Homer and other things like that look at New Testament scholars and go, what are you guys griping about? I mean, they don't have a small percentage of material to work from that we do. In fact, we today, if we just simply invest in something like this and do a little learning, can have access to all this information right in our own little hands. Let me give you some further examples. There is an entire collection of Paul's writings, just the Pauline corpus, known as P46. Here it is. This is the end of Romans, Romans chapter 16, verse 23, up here at the top. And then this reads, Pros Hebraeus, to the Hebrews. Hebrews came right after Romans in P46. What does that tell you that the writer of P46 thought of the book of Hebrews? Who wrote it? For him, Paul did. He felt it was Pauline. Now, I could sit here with my Greek text, my Nestle's Greek text, and follow along with this that was written 1700, almost 1800 years ago. It'll say the exact same all along. In fact, see this little word that's written above the line here? That's a little word, himon. It's been written in at a later time. Somebody added it in. And my Greek text, in a footnote, tells me that. I mean, I didn't even have to see that. Just in the Greek text that I'm holding, it will tell me, by the way, P46 puts the little word homon in here, but it's by a corrector. That kind of information is available to all of us from thousands of manuscripts. Thousands of them. This is P46. Very important when you get into Paul's writings. But obviously, we don't have a whole lot of papyri, because papyri doesn't last long. So, around the 4th century, that would be around the year 300, during the 4th century, between 300 and 399, you have the creation of the great codexes. One of those, a lot of you may have heard of, is called Codex Sinaiticus. Codex Sinaiticus. That's what it looked like. Still an unsealed text. All capital letters, no room between words, nothing. Actually, what you have here is probably sentence breaks. That's the first indication of things like that. You have a few corrections written in here. This is Codex Sinaiticus. I very quickly just mentioned to you that the story of the finding of this manuscript is fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Up until, this was, for a long time, this was the earliest text of the New Testament that we had by far. I mean, this dates from, say, let's say about 350. And for a long time, this was the earliest one that we had before the papyri were discovered. And the discovery of it is a fascinating tale. It really is. Codex Sinaiticus. You will run into it a great deal in your studies if you begin to get into the text. Another of the great unsealed texts, Codex Vaticanus. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 18, followed by Hebrews chapter 1 through 2:2. Again, it is a normal unsealed text, but you notice it's a whole lot easier to read. The letters are much clearer. You can still see the pros hebraeus up here, a little more ornate here at the beginning. Also coming from the same time as Sinaiticus. And the third of the big three unsealed texts, Codex Alexandrinus. This is Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 29. Mark 9, 2 through 29. All unsealed texts written on vellum, all dating from the 4th century. Alexandrinus is considered to be later than Sinaiticus and Vaticanus by maybe 50 to 100 years at the outside. I said I would show you the difference between an unsealed text and a minuscule text. Well, here's a minuscule text. You can see here that we're no longer dealing simply in capital letters, but we're now using smaller letters. We're breaking up between words. Starting to put some punctuation here, there, and everywhere. And this is a minuscule text. This one is minuscule text number 623. It dates from AD 1037. That's Jude verses 3 through 25. Now, with all this material, you'd go, well, now it sounds like you're saying that we've got the whole thing just sewn up here. I mean, what's the whole issue of textual criticism? Well, I think it is important that we recognize the truth of the situation that faces us so that we can have a firm faith in why we do believe that we know what was originally written. There is a pie-in-the-sky mentality amongst a lot of Christians that says, don't tell me about the problems. I don't want to know about those. But no two of these 5,000 manuscripts is letter for letter, word for word, identical to any other one. I mean, if we all sat down right now and I photocopied off a couple chapters of the Gospel of John, and we all scattered abroad this building with a pen and paper and copied, hand-copied, the very same thing and brought them all back, would every single one of our handwritten copies be identical to everybody else's? You know it. Would not. I can give you incredibly good examples, just recently, of where I have messed up doing this kind of thing. I took a Hebrew final recently. And when I got it back, I had missed a bunch of points on a translation, and the professor circled where I had skipped from a one word on this line down to the same word on the next line and lost the whole sentence in between. So I didn't translate it because I skipped it. It was just an error of sight. I made a mistake. Well, if I can do that while translating, you can certainly do it while copying. And so we look at these 5,000 manuscripts and we realize that we need to engage in some examination of these manuscripts to determine the original reading. Well, what are some of the kinds of errors that have been made? First, we'll look at these and then discuss how it is that we can know that we have the original text. Let's look first. I believe it is on your handout at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. Does anyone have a King James Version of the Bible? And does anyone have a New American Standard version of the Bible? Okay. Could you read the King James Version of 1 Timothy 3:16? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, received up into glory.
New American Standard, Henry?
And by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who is revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory.
Anyone notice any difference between the two? You should have. The King James reads, God was manifest in the flesh. The New American Standard reads, he who, right? He who was manifested in the flesh. Say, well, wait a minute, that's a pretty big difference. Well, let's look at how big the difference actually is. The word that you see here in this Greek text is the word hos, which means he who. Okay, there's hos. This is the Greek word for God. Theos. Now, remember I told you that what were they originally written in? Were they originally written in a small text or in the unsealed text? In the unsealed text. Now, in the unsealed text, hos would be written like this. And the word for God, what was known as a nomina sacra. And that means it was contracted down. It was a sacred name, and it would be contracted down when it was written. And guess what it would be written as? That's theta sigma with a line over top.